This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello everyone from around the world, and thanks for joining us on another episode of Baseball Outside the Box, the show that brings you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. Hello everyone, I'm your host. First of all, I want to thank you for being on the show, listening to the show. We've got people live on Facebook. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, and I want to welcome you. Thanks for being on Facebook. If you have any questions while you're on Facebook, text me at 847-997-3898. That's 847-997-3898. Text me some questions you could ask our guests during the show, and we'll try to get those questions in there. Don't forget, we are in the Lineup Media Group studios, so that's where the show is being done. And then we want to remind you, if you're a new listener, help us out. Listen to the show. If you really like it, go to Stitcher, iTunes. You know how to do that. Click on the logos. Give us a rating. Join the show. That way you can get, you know, updates all the time on the show. And if you really like the show, let's say you've been a listener for a while. We got some great listeners all over the world. If you really like the show, you could really help us out. Go to the iTunes and Stitcher and give us a good rating. That'll really keep the show going. So we're excited about today's show, but also follow us on Twitter at Baseball Out. There's a lot of baseball tips there. Great way to interact on Twitter. So don't forget, at Baseball Out, that is our Twitter. We're excited about the show because it's going to be about coaching parents, coaching kids, and also coaching coaches. We've got a great expert on the show today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, then we'll get started. Known Jack Bracani for a long time. Now you're going to say, oh, he's Italian, that's why you got him on the show. Well, he's Italian, but he's also a very good instructor, very good coach. He's a former major league player. He came up with the Dodgers. He's White Sox also. He had a great career with the Seattle Mariners. So he's got the great aspect from the major league level. But then he's also been coaching baseball and softball for over 26 years. And by now, probably more. We were just talking. I forgot to ask him. He's an author. He continues to share, you know, his playing, coaching, and parenting experiences through blogs, books, and websites. He's the author of The Making of a Hitter and Raising an Athlete. Those are all both topics. Now he's also got a new book that we're going to talk about, and he's going to tell you all about that book in a little bit. I've known Jack for a long time. It's great to have him on the show. He's got a lot of great experience. I got to tell you this. I listened to him and I'm going back. Could be 20 years, maybe less. But I think it was about 20 years. Listened to him at the Illinois High School Baseball Coaches Convention, and he doesn't know this, but you know, the show's called Baseball Outside the Box for a reason, because I believe that we need to be innovative in a lot of things we do. Well, he has a great influence on this, because back then, he brought up one thing. One thing that I still use now, but I learned a lot from Jack at that convention. One of the things which I thought was unique that we always have to be innovative about is, you know, why do we always continue to do the things we do? Why don't we look at new ways to do things? And he talked about infield, outfield. They always ask, you know, why are we always hitting infield, outfield the same way? You know, left field first, center field next, right field. Why? Because we've always done it that way. That's the way we've been taught. Well, is that really the best way? Maybe not. That's why as coaches, we need to think about what is a better way that we can do things the way we're doing them currently. And, you know, why not just hit it anywhere so the kids are attentive during infield, outfield? So if you're hitting it to the left fielder, then the right fielder and center fielder are just standing there waiting, and they all know, and they're becoming robots. But we want kids to learn the game, and that was one thing that I'd learned from Jack. He's been on shows in Chicago about parenting and coaches. So we're looking forward to getting on ready with the show. And one thing I want to do is welcome Jack Bracani. Jack, how you doing, my bud?
Hey, Pete. I'm doing great. It's great to be here. And after that intro, I'm very excited about here talking to you.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've been doing this a long time, so I'm sure I missed something. But, you know, we're going to put a lot of your background also on the show notes on the podcast so people can, you know, get a better idea about what you've done. But, again, I think what's going to be great about this show is that you and I have something in common. We believe in, you know, and always thinking about the better way of doing something. And then, believe it or not, that got me sparked that day at the convention, just that small thing that you talked about, infield, outfield. And so that was exciting. That kind of got me going when it came to teaching coaches and parents. Let's get started with this. Let's tell the audience a little bit around the world. What are you doing right now currently? What's your project? And I know you have a new book out. If you want to mention that right away, let's do it, because I think that's important.
Well, I have a new book, and it's for coaches of every sport, and it's called Creating a Season to Remember. So I'm very excited about that coming out, and I believe it can help coaches in every sport. And, you know, it's going to be about just how to inspire kids to, you know, enjoy the games more. And not only that, it's also about helping parents or helping coaches deal with parents, because, as you know, Pete, that's a lot of it nowadays. It's not just dealing with kids, it's dealing with their parents also. So this book can help in a number of ways, and so I'm really excited about that. But also, you know, on my website, I'm always trying to teach things and, like you say, come up with new ways maybe that can help coaches to teach the game a little better. And then I still teach hitting to, you know, baseball and softball players, and that's my first love, I think, is teaching the game to kids and being around young players.
Yeah, and you've been doing that a long time and very good at it. Now, if I'm correct, the website baseballcoaching.tips, correct?
That's right, yes.
And I've gone to the site for everybody around there. Again, Jack's website is baseballcoaching.tips. It is outstanding. There's so much great information. You know, it's not all about the money. Jack's got a lot of great stuff on there that you could also learn. And, you know, I'm assuming, Jack, obviously all the books can be ordered there, which I think the new one will be up there soon, right?
That's right, yeah. I appreciate that, Pete.
Oh, super, super. And matter of fact, since you talked about parents, because, you know, we're going to talk about parents, coaches, and players, and what's great about podcasts is you can lead into all areas anytime you want. Since you talked about parents, that's a great topic. Now, I've always believed, and, you know, it's just a philosophy of mine, and I kept it on for a while. I've always believed parents are part of the process, not the enemies. But you have to be pretty smart on how to deal with the parents. So since you've wrote a book about this, and information in your book, let's talk about that a little bit. Give us some advice for coaches, especially the volunteers, because, you know, they don't do this for a living, as you know. They don't work on it every day, and they got to deal with the parents. Give us, you know, those coaches some advice on how to deal with parents. What should they be doing to help out the process?
Well, first of all, I always tell coaches is, you know, you have to stay ahead of the curve in a sense. And by that, I mean, stay ahead of the experts out there. And the experts, I mean, a lot of times, unfortunately, are the parents who feel like they know more about the games than we do. And so, you know, I tell coaches, you have to stay up on things and keep learning, you know, so that you're ahead of the game and not, you know, behind. Because a lot of times the parents may be right, but that's your fault for not, you know, staying ahead. And the second thing I think most important is just being positive. I mean, I've seen it year in and year out where parents get down on their kids. They expect way too much. And if the coaches follow suit in the same manner, kids are going to get turned off and they quit, you know. And we lose a lot of good athletes because they just feel too much expectations on them. So by coaches being positive, and that's the way I am, I've seen many a parent just turn their whole attitude around towards their kids and become more positive, and everybody's happier, and the kids play much longer than if, you know, the parents keep riding them all the time. So it's very important to be positive with kids and understand that, you know, sports are not easy. It's not as easy as it looks on TV or anywhere else. So those are the two things I would say is be positive and, you know, get the knowledge that you need to know to stay ahead of the game.
All right, listen, I also want to welcome Steve Springer. I see you're on Facebook. Hello, Steve. Thanks for the note. A great, great speaker at the ABCA. Great mental training individual coach. We used to be with the Toronto Blue Jays. We thank you for joining the show. He's a great friend also. Hey, Jack, listen, you know, when we talk about parents, you know, obviously they're, you know, they're going to be in the stands. Sometimes they're second guessing, even at the youth league games. You know, they're going to be trying to coach kids at times, even during games, which, you know, we know that it's not exactly a very good thing, because it doesn't help the youngster. He's already nervous on the field, and also now you're trying to coach him on hitting. give our coaches a little recommendation of what they can do. How should they talk to the parents about this, there isn't any teaching going on during games?
Right. You know, I believe in a preseason coaches meeting, you know, where the parents meet with the coach and the coach goes over all of these things, and he has to lay the groundwork down right then for how parents can behave during games. Mm-hmm. And right there, you have to set the rules down. And, I tell them as a last resort, if parents insist on doing things that, you know, are disrupting the players, then one of two things, one of three things, I guess. First, they have to get further away so they watch from a distance. Number two, you know, is they shouldn't be there if they're going to keep getting on the kids. And then three, if nothing changes and their attitudes, you know, don't change, then their kid goes on the bench for a while. And I know those seem harsh, but in this day and age, it's about the only way you can deal with things. So I believe in a coaches meeting at the beginning of the year where everybody understands that this is the way things are going to be done, you know. And when you're at games, the parents are there to cheer, the coaches are there to coach, and the umpires are there to umpire, and everybody has to stay within their own grounds, you know. So it's never an easy thing, but I think if you establish the, you know, parameters from the very beginning, that would help. And also, they should read Mike Matheny's book, you know, that came out, Matheny Manifesto, and mm-hmm. that's an outstanding guide for parents to realize, you know, he believes in silent motivation, you know, where parents just quietly just say, hey, good luck, and, you know, the rest of the time they remain quiet, and it almost has to be that way.
Sure, and I love the idea of the parent meeting, because, you know, like anything else, whether it's classroom, whether it's, you know, the field, whether it's an industry, you know, we have employees, you know, communication is the name of the game, and if we're not communicating with each other, and everybody really doesn't understand what you're trying to do. So I think that's outstanding. Now, a lot of volunteer coaches, you know, they don't have a lot of training time. So unfortunately or fortunately, players have to understand that they need to work on their own. Because if you're going to get better, you know, when a volunteer coach has two practices a week, well, that's not going to be enough for, you know, a youngster to, you know, increase his abilities to have fun in the game. You know, players need to work on their own, but parents can be helpful here. What about if coaches, you know, what about in that parent meeting, if coaches can at least give their philosophy a little bit about, you know, what they're trying to teach? So that way, if a parent wants to play catch with their kids in the front yard, you're kind of doing the same thing, so you're not on two different pages.
Absolutely, Pete. You know, I actually, in my book, I recommend that coaches, before the season, have a parent practice where it's not the, and I know you've done that many a times, but where it's not the kids come to practice, the parents come. Because if you can get everybody teaching the same things and having the knowledge of what, you know, just some basics, then the kids are the winners in that. And so I definitely believe in that, where the coaches need to involve the parents so everybody's teaching the same things. And the kids will definitely benefit. And then, like you say, when they're practicing at home, parents know what to work on. And then also, you don't get the kid coming back and saying, well, my dad said do it this way, so I'm going to do it this way instead of the way you're teaching. And then pretty soon, you know, no one's listening to anybody. So, yeah, I really believe in that. You know, if you can get the parents, you know, there was a time where coaches wanted parents nowhere near the fields. And I kind of like the opposite, where I want parents not to coach at practice, but to listen in on what's being taught so they can teach the same things.
Yeah, and that's what I love about you, Jack. You and I are on the same page. I even believe high school coaches, I see that a lot too. Very good friends of mine, we've talked about this, you know, where they send the parents out, you know, and oh, stay in the stands, we're going to go talk to the players in left field. You know what, I feel like, you know, there are times maybe you need to do that, but I think a majority of times, if they heard you talk about what went on during the game and why you did certain things or whatever it may be, why you're teaching this, you know, like you said, if you're knowledgeable and you're confident in yourself, then the parents, you know, they're gonna listen. You know, obviously if you're hesitant in things and you're not sure about things, that's different. But if you have parents involved and they're listening, they're also learning at the same time. So I love that. I think this is fantastic. You're listening to Jack Bercani on Baseball Outside the Box, former Major League player with the Dodgers, White Sox, and also Seattle Mariners, but also now 26 years of teaching, has three books on coaching players, coaching coaches, coaching parents, coaches, coaching parents. You can go to his website again. We talked about it earlier. We're going to have it on the show notes. Go to baseballcoaching.tips. We're continuing now with Jack. Thanks, guys, everybody on Facebook for joining us. We're talking about, coaches and parents right now. Jack, what else, what other advice do you have for, our coaches out there? Specifically, if something happens, when it comes to, maybe they are teaching things from the stands. Now, we tell them not to do it, but is there reasons why they shouldn't be doing other than, interfering?
Well, it's very hard for kids to have an ear here, an ear there. They're listening to coach, they're listening to their parent, and that's difficult in the first place, And even with coaches, I really believe that games are times to let kids play, and you teach afterwards, and you teach at practice, and that's why you have practices. So the games are times for the kids, and the coaches, you make notes about what maybe is going wrong. You maybe make suggestions, but you do very little coaching during the games because it's just too hard to be playing this game and be thinking about, oh, coach said do this, do that, instead of concentrating on the baseball, So it's a very tough game, as and a lot of sports are, but baseball's probably the toughest of all. And so anytime the mind gets diverted in two different ways, it's not going to be helpful to the kids. So, that's a whole nother ball game of how coaches should run ball games. And I think it starts with them. And if parents hopefully can see how coaches go about their business, then they're going to follow suit too. But yeah, that's a difficult area. Everybody's trying to help. And so I never blame parents for, trying to help, but there's a time and place for everything.
Absolutely. We are live on Facebook. I see Rick Younger, Mickey Owen, baseball school instructor, former Wichita State player. Welcome. Bill Olson, Hall of Fame, ABCA coach on Facebook Live. Bill, welcome. I'm glad you joined the show. We're on with Jack Bercani, former major leaguer. We're talking about coaching parents and also coaching coaches and kids. Jack, let's continue. Here's the I've done over, maybe 1,000 tryout camps, whether it was with USA Baseball for our national teams or whether it was for the Great Lakes NTIS, which is a regional team for USA Baseball. And I really, really believe that, coaches and parents, that education is so important. But, it comes down to educating also the players. Now, if we can educate more coaches, especially volunteers, then that's going to filter down to the players. Because, and I say this because, the 12, 13, 14-year-old players that I see at some of the tryouts, I just feel bad because I'm not sure they're really being taught the right things at the younger levels. And I'll give you an example. One of the things I saw just this weekend was, which was astonishing. One, you're trying out for the national team or for a regional team to make it possibly to USA Baseball's national team. But to me, it doesn't matter if you're trying out for a T-ball team, if you're trying out for anything, or, you would think that we instill in our youngsters that you must have a lot, you got to have pride when you play this game, when you go to a practice. I could not believe the number of players that walked everywhere they went. Now, I tell you this because at the tryouts, I don't tell kids to hustle. I don't give them any advice because I want to see what they can do on their own. If we're constantly telling them that, then that's not going to help evaluate certain players. And to me, hustle, there should be no excuse, but it needs to be taught, and that's the problem. It's not being taught. Everybody thinks you just tell them to hustle and they're going to hustle. What advice do you have for coaches to get kids in a very good habit to hustle in everything they do?
Well, once again, that has to start at a young age. And like I say, it starts with the coaches. Whenever I see a bored player, I look at myself first. I'm going to look at the coach or look at myself and say, why am I not inspiring him enough to hustle? So that's the first thing, you know, and there's different ways that I do to motivate myself, you know. There's a number of ways you can do it, but you know, when they warm up and they take a lap, I'm going to take that lap with them and things like that, because that's getting me, my heart pumping, and then I get motivated and I get enthusiasm, and then hopefully that's going to take over. But once again, it has to be taught from a young age. I know at a tryout camp, you're not going to talk to kids first, because like you say, for that reason, you want to see which kids are going to hustle. But before I start anything, I will usually start with a little talk, and in my talk, I'm going to, you know, tell kids what's important. And to me, what's important is exactly what you're talking about. It's effort, you know. It's not being the best player. It's not hitting all the home runs and being, you know, just your statistics. It's all about the effort that you put in. And I tell them that, you know, if they put in the effort in baseball, they're going to put in the effort in school, they're going to put in the effort in everything. And that's what life's about, is, you know, putting in the effort, because there's only so many superstars, and most of them aren't going to be that. But it all begins with that. And so I try to make that point from day one, you know, is from the first day, that that's what I'm looking for. And, you know, with younger kids, I'll give rewards after practice or things, and they're never about who had the best game. It's always about who showed the best hustle, who helped the coach out, you know, pick up after games in the stands, who was the best teammate, you know, cheering on other guys. So there's so much more to the game than just, you know, being the star. So once again, it starts at a young age, and we as coaches, we have to bring the enthusiasm. And I think over time, that enthusiasm usually will rub off on kids, and you know, giving them enough talks about how important it is to give their best, you know. And so it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight, but like you say, by the time they're 12, 13, 14, you hope they have that, because if they don't have it by then, they may never get it.
Yeah, and if we've got very good coaching at 8 years old when they first start, of course we want to make things fun for them. There's ways to make it fun, but there's also ways to like you said, teach them, you know, to respect the game, to hustle, to make, you know, have that effort. You know, and we you know, I'm staying on tryouts because I think a lot of kids do go to tryouts, and if they don't develop good habits when they're young, it can hurt them. You know, I've seen this. And I know, you know, we're almost in the entitlement life right now, which I hate to, you know, see, because I think we need to change that a little bit. But I've got kids that are coming to tryouts not even carrying their equipment, and I don't think they understand that that's one of the first things we're looking for.
There's things that just, you know, I just shake my head at with, you know, kids, how they can, you know, treat their parents. But I mean, the parents obviously, excuse me, have allowed it, you know. And you know, it's like, hey, Dad, go get me this. Go get me my batting gloves. Go get me this. And, you know, and I'm just shaking my head like, you know, and yeah, it is funny. But yeah, things have changed, that's for sure. And but once again, that gets back to parenting and coaching. And so we can't blame the kids for things that we're allowing them to get away with. And it catches up on them sooner or later in life, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If you involve the parents more in the education, then we're all working on it together, right? Because we know parenting is not easy. Nobody's sitting on this show saying it's easy to be a parent. But if we can educate people more, and then they're working with the kids, the coaches working with them, the parents are working with, so they're only not hearing it from one person, because that could be an issue too. You know, parents talking too much, and it goes in and out where in one ear and out the other. But the coaches and parents are helping the players out. That's going to be extremely helpful. I think that's why we do the show, is to try to give people advice on how they can become better. And that's why you wrote 3 books on parenting and coaching. So I think that's outstanding. Now, the other one is, you know, I believe, you know, and it's very hard because most kids are shy. But the sooner young kids can learn to communicate with people, a lot better. And I'll give you simple things like, you know, I might say to try out, you know, number so-and-so, because, you know, a lot of times you use numbers, and or you say someone's name, and they'll say, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, where did you get yeah from? You know, who's taught you to, you know, to say yeah to a person? What happened to yes? What happened to a hello? You know, what happened to shaking hands? You know, these are small things, but they're big in the big picture, aren't they?
Well, they sure are, and you know, and once again, I hate to keep getting back to my book, but I kind of the things you're talking about and respect for the game, and I talk about those things is, you know, what coaches have to teach kids and how to deal with relationships, and that relationships with not only their teammates but with the adults involved in the game, you know, with their parents, other parents, the coaches, and the umpires, you know, and that's so much, so many things that coaches can do. They're teaching life, not just baseball, and teaching all about respect, you know, and those are important things, and it needs to, you know, if they're not getting it at home, then coaches need to provide that impetus, or at least, you know, do their best to do that with kids, and respect for the game and all that is something that's kind of gone out the window a little bit in this day and age, but that doesn't mean coaches shouldn't try to keep, you know, doing their best. And, you know, what I see with a lot of kids, especially when they reach that age you were talking about, Pete, the at tryouts ages, is, you know, a lot of kids, they think it's not cool to hustle too much, you know.
Right.
And that really bothers you, you know. They're like too cool. And I get to a point where I'll ask them, hey, you know, what are you afraid of, you know? And they'll say, well, I'm not afraid of anything. And I'll say, well, you're afraid to work hard. And yeah, that kind of stops them really quick, you know. And, yeah, and you know, and so it's kind of a way of kind of getting to those kids that seem like they're too cool to work hard. And sometimes that wakes them up. And, you know, some kids don't even realize how they're acting. So once you bring that to their attention, sometimes it makes a difference.
Well, and, you know, and there's peer pressure. I get that part sometimes. Like you said, they don't want to hustle maybe because they don't want to show off somebody. And that's a great point. And we wait to the end of the tryouts a lot of times. And, you know, we talk about these things because it's all about education. You know, you gotta see what kids are doing and educate them. One of the things we tell the kids at the end all the time is, you know, when you're done with this tryout, you know, ask yourself, you know, how well prepared were you? How well did you do? How hard did you try? You know, if you could walk out of here saying you prepared yourself well and you tried hard, then you did a great job. Now, if you can't say those things, then maybe you need to go back and work on it a little bit. Now, one of the things that we also give advice sometimes, Jack, to a lot of players is because, you know, kids don't, like you say, kids don't realize it. You know, perception sometimes it can be sticky. What I mean by that is, you know, a youngster's not listening. You know, maybe they're not making eye contact with the coach. He may be listening or she may be listening to everything that you said, but because you weren't looking at the coach, the perception is you're not a good listener.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I've kind of gotten over that because exactly for that reason you're saying, you know, I used to think the kids looking at me were the ones listening, but then I realized some kids just don't create the eye contact, but they're still listening. So that's why questions are so important, you know. I'll ask questions after I talk and see who was listening, you know, and that kind of helps you find out the kids that are listening and those that aren't. So, you know, a lot of the times too with our kids that you know, they're just burnt out too, you know. They've had so much from a young age. Sometimes in this day and age, they're playing sports such, you know, the baseball, whatever the sport is, year round. And it's just, they get burnt out a little bit. And I think by the time they get to tryout ages, when they get to tryouts, it's just old hat to them and it's just hard for them. So I think it's important as parents and coaches that we do our best not to burn kids out and overdo it. And, you know, the most important thing is trying to develop a love for the game, you know, and if you can find a player that you just see that love for the game in them, then they hustle and they enjoy being there and they're just a pleasure to be around those type players.
You know what, that's one of the areas that I was thinking about as you're talking about that. You're listening to Jack Bercani on Baseball Outside the Box. Don't forget, go to his website, baseballcoaching.tips. He's got three books up there and also a lot of great information. We're talking about coaches, parenting, and working with players. Also, if you have any questions, email me at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Send us your questions. We love getting your questions. We'll get back to you as quick as possible. We've got a question right here from Pete Dirkovic, who was a former Schaumburg Flyers player of mine, who's up in the East Coast. played minor league baseball, also was on the Pakistani. He was actually the Pakistani pitching coach. He says here, how often do you yell at your players when they don't hustle?
I rarely yell for any reason, to be honest. I'll pull them aside. I don't like to show kids up either if I can help it. So I'm going to pull them aside and explain to him, you know, his options and try to figure out why he isn't hustling. And number one, like I say, a lot of kids, they don't realize they're not hustling. You know, they just, that's how they've been taught. Like you say, they walk out on the field. They see the big leaguers walking in and out of the dugout. So, hey, if they do it, why can't I? And a lot of kids just don't understand what hustle is. So I never like to yell at kids for things that they probably have never been taught or don't realize that's how they're acting. So yelling isn't a big part of my game. You know, I might yell out words of encouragement or, you know, motivation, like get ready and things like that and that. But once again, I don't usually think that yelling does the trick as much as explaining things, talking to them. And usually over time, I'll see those kids that may have been kind of a dog at some point of the season, they really pick it up as time goes on.
Sure. Now, we got coaches from all over the world listening to the show. You're on with Pete Caliendo, the host of Baseball Outside the Box with Jack Bercani. Lamont Rogers, former St. Paul Saints player, instructor, also on the show. We've got Aldo Codiscopi, my good friend from Italy. So we got guys from all over. Anthony Donato's on the show. Christian Palva. We've got people from all over the world. And thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. Jack, one last thing with players, and it's probably the, you know, I would think it's one of the toughest ones of all. You know, baseball is a game that, you know, whether you like it or not, you're going to fail. And, you know, a lot of young kids, which is understandable. I had a hard time when I was older dealing with failure. You know, what recommendation do you have with coaches, you know, when they're working with kids, whether it's during the game or whether it's in practice, you know, how to deal with the failure?
Yeah, that's a very tough one, you know, because every kid is different. You know, some kids take things extremely hard and get down on themselves. So once again, it's a coaching process, you know, from the beginning. You know, the first time I ever work with a kid or a team, I'm going to explain those things to them. You know, I'm going to tell them, hey, there's going to be times you're going to struggle. You know, I don't know how many times I've ever said, hey, do you watch a game on TV and watch how many times guys swing and miss there and strike out? You know, so I'm just trying to make the point this game is hard. Everybody's going to struggle at some point. And it, once again, it's a process of trying to get them to understand the nature of sports. The kids that just can't get past that frustration, they usually quit at a pretty young age. But the kids that over time start to understand it, that it's a tough game, it's you never totally perfect it, you know, and you just keep working at it, those kids will stick with it, and over time they learn to use it as motivation when they fail, but not to where it defines who they are. And I think that's most important, is to make sure kids don't realize that when they fail, that means they're a failure, you know. That just means they didn't get a hit that time, you know. And so it's a good coach is going to continually focus on kids' morale and trying to help them understand the nature of the game. It takes a while, but over time it can be done.
Sure. We're going to stay with the coaches because, you know, I looked at this and I realized that, I mean, all my life I've been thinking, you know, why aren't we doing a much better job? You know, personally, I think we need a national certification program like they have in a lot of countries for our volunteers, because they're great people, they're well-intended, but they don't do it for a living. And if we can just give them more advice and train them better, like you're talking about, I think is a great idea. You know, taking parents and putting them on the field, making them do some things, learning the game a little bit more, because it's a lot easier to teach once you've gone through it a little bit. So as we stay on coaching, talk about a little bit, you know, one of the things that kids have said a lot is that the reason they quit the game, you know, obviously number one reason is they're not having fun. Well, I think all of us could have told you that that's the number one reason without even doing any studies. But one of the other reasons was practices are boring. talk to our coaches a little bit about how to make practice fun, some of the things that you can do to, you know, make learning a little bit more fun so that way kids become better.
Yeah, there's a number of things. You know, first, and we talked about a little before, is just, you know, bring the enthusiasm. You know, I see a lot of coaches that are very dry with their opening remarks and talks, and they act like, you know, they're not sure why they're going to be there and why they're there. And so right away, kids are going to be like, well, what the heck is, you know, going on? So number one is, you know, put some enthusiasm in your movements and your voice, number one. Number two is to plan out the practice. You know, I like to plan out my practice. Now, I may not stick with it totally, but whenever I've, you know, tried to just wing a practice, I'm always frustrated at the end that we didn't get nearly as much accomplished as I wanted. So I'm going to, you know, set aside, you know, 10 minutes for this, 10 for this, 10 for that, and I'm going to try to get to all those things so that, you know, you get accomplished what you want accomplished. And then, you know, small groups, keeping people in small groups where they stay active. You know, I think baseball loses a lot of players for that reason, because you have one kid hitting and 10 kids standing around, you know. So the more you can keep them active, obviously that helps. Challenging them, you really need to challenge kids. We lose a lot of the better athletes, I think, because we don't challenge them. You know, if you treat everybody the same, the good kids, they make it look easy, and it's like, oh, this is easy, I'm gonna move on to something else. So it's very important we challenge kids. And there's a number of ways, you know. I always have a go-to game that I'll do with kids when I feel like they're just down in the dumps or things just aren't, you know, there's not a lot of action going on. I'll have a go-to hitting game where I go, you know, we pick up sides and we go to this game, and kids always like this game, that game, and it kind of rejuvenates everybody again. So there's a number of things coaches can do, but, you know, mostly is keeping them active. And and then improvement, you know, anytime kids see themselves getting a little better, then that's motivating itself. You know, nothing motivates like success. So if you can help kids to improve their game, then they're going to keep wanting to work at it. So it's kind of a two-way street. Coaches really need to bring it, you know, and then there comes a time where players, you know, they have to start having a good attitude about things and understanding that, you know, practice is beneficial, and it's not just about the games.
Absolutely. I want to welcome Craig Koslov on Facebook Live. Greg is recovering from knee replacement. Man, you're going to have a little bit of rehab, Greg, so hopefully you've started that, and thanks for listening on the show. Jack, listen, you know, I know running a practice one thing, but then now all of a sudden it transfers into, you know, the actual games. Now, I know you talked a little bit about, you know, during the games, advice for coaches, you know, one of them was, you know, not as much talking. Now, if you've got a volunteer coach who only practices once a week or twice a week, and you see things that go on to the field, what's your advice on when to talk to the players about those things? Is it during the game? Is it when they come back in? Is it after the game? Is it the next day?
Yeah, if it's an individual thing, you know, just one player maybe not in right position, things like that, you know, that's fine to coach, because you want it to happen right away. So, you know, you can make little moves like that. I just think there's a lot of overcoaching going on. You know, the ball's hit, and all of a sudden the coach is the one yelling, first base, first base, first base, when, you know, it's not the coaches. The kids aren't going to learn that way. They need to make the decisions themselves. So I think you have to be careful of overcoaching, but yeah, mostly after practice, like I say, take good notes during the game, during practice. You say one or two practices a week. Well, really, nowadays, that's almost pretty good, Pete, compared to, you know, I get so many parents that say, we never practice. It's only games and tournaments, you know. There's no such thing as practice. And so that's kind of a shame, you know. So one or two practices a week really isn't bad if you get to the things you need to get to, you know, and really focus on, you know, some good things at practice. And then, you know, I'm a big believer in giving kids homework, you know, and telling them, here, I need you to go home and do this, you know, 20 times a day, or And you don't know if they do it or not, but at least you've done your job of telling kids what you want them working on. And I like to include the parents with that talk, you know, saying, hey, I want them to catch, you know, 20 pop-ups each day this week, or field 20 balls, and this is how I want them to do it, you know. So there's a lot of things that you can be doing. But in-game itself, you know, I'm pretty hesitant to say too much. Even something as minute as maybe telling them, hey, stay back when they're hitting, you know. Well, now their next thought is stay back. They stay back, and then they forgot to swing at the pitch that was right down the middle because they were thinking about staying back. So it's a very tough game to put thoughts in players' head and then still expect them to react the right way. So, you know, you want to be careful of overcoaching. And then, of course, there's undercoaching, where some coaches don't teach after or at practice either, and that's not good either.
Well, I love what you said about kids need to play the game, because I think, you know, we have a tendency, even at the young ages, is to create robots. We want to do everything for them, you know. I mean, when the ball's hit in front of them, why can't they make a decision to go to the next base? Why can't young kids call pickoff moves? Why can't the catcher call pickoffs? Why can't the, you know, first baseman pick players off? The pitcher pick players off if he feels they're taking too big of a lead? Why do we always have to tell them what to do? I agree with you 100%. I think kids need to, you know, make mistakes in order to get better. But what I'm shocked at is what you also said was no practice. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how can you get better at the game if you don't practice?
Well, it's kind of the nature now of the travel ball era, where, you know, it's all about the tournaments and just playing games, which is very unfortunate. But, you know, if you're playing four or five games a week, you don't even have time to practice, you know, because you can't ask kids to come out and play 6-7 days a week. So that gets back to just scheduling correctly and understanding, you know, the age of the players and what you're there for. So like you say, it's really a shame, but that's kind of the nature of the game nowadays for a lot of coaches.
Well, which means now the onus needs to be, and that's why we have the shows, to educate as best we can. The onus needs to be on the player and the parent. You know, the player needs to go out, maybe throw some ground balls against the wall and work on their fundamentals, or maybe hit off a tee or do some things so that way they can maintain their fundamental skills, so that way they can play the game a little bit better. And I think that's the, you know, the crutch of the whole thing. You and I talked off the air, the game's changing a little bit, but we need to remind people that if kids don't practice, especially 9, 10, 12 years old, they don't practice, not only will they not get better, but possibly you could create some injuries.
Well, that's for sure. And, you know, in my book, I kind of talk about at-home practice. And it's not just, you know, hey, go home and swing the bat, because how many kids are going to do that, or, you know if they're even doing it right? So I teach coaches to try to have a system of measurement, you know, where if they're doing tee work, we set up targets and they calculate how many points they get. And you can do that with pitching, you can do that with hitting. You can, you know, if you take 15 ground balls, you calculate how many you caught the right way, you know, maybe you need the help of your parents or whatever. But by having a system of measurement, you know you're getting better, or at least you know how many times, you know, you want to try to get it right. So, you know, if you get to the point where you're doing things right 80% of the time, then that's very good, and then that's going to carry over into improvement and seeing those results in the game, you know. So just to go home and practice, if they're not doing things correct anyway, it's probably not going to help. But if they're measuring their workouts in some way, you know, which you can do for almost anything, then that can really help and motivates kids to, hey, I want to beat my personal best, you know. And I'll have kids bring back you know, a little journal of the days they practice and their results, you know. And so it's kind of a way of pushing kids to do it a little bit more than just saying, hey, go home and do this, you know.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And I'm watching Facebook. I see my wife, Beverly. She's checking me out to make sure she's going to be the critique of the show. She's on Facebook making sure, you know, I do a good job here. And then we got science. Yeah, exactly. Well, this reason, you know, I get better all the time because she helps me out. Thank God. We got Syed from Pakistan and Greg Kozlov. We mentioned, yes, the IBAF. I remember, Greg, with the World Children's Baseball Fair. I was there last year, and Greg was there for many years with Angel Bonilla. Good friends. Again, great. Thanks for being on the show. And don't forget, baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's our Facebook page. We got videos, tips. We put them on every day. Go see the videos. Go see all our tips on there. Ask any questions. Also, our email, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. All right, Jack, we are going to end it with the part about, even though we talked about it a little bit, I want to get back to the parents a little bit, because as we talked about, they're part of the process here. Let's finish the show with advice, other advice that you might have for parents that can, you know, help in any way in the development of their child's sport. And I knew you mentioned your book. Mention it again, because your book's not just about baseball. It's about anybody that's got kids in sports.
Well, my previous book is called Raising an Athlete, and that's all about parenting kids. You know, I had three kids that were athletes, so I had that experience. And then being around the youth game for so long, I wrote that book. It's called Raising an Athlete for Parents, and just ways to help motivate kids and, you know, watch for, you know, that they don't push kids too hard. And there's just a number of things in there that I think would really help them. You know, there's just so much, you know, I don't like telling parents, you know, how to parent, but I think over time they realize that, you know, a positive, encouraging style is the only thing really that works in the long run, you know. And if they want their kids to play in the high school, and a lot of the kids have the talent to do that, then they need to go about things the right way. And if they push at the younger age, I see it all the time that kids get to the high school age and they've had enough and they just drop out. And they're, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot of times the most talented kids that give up playing for that reason, you know. So, yeah, there's just so much there. From a coaching standpoint, once again, to help parents is just to try to stay upbeat as much as possible with the kids. I almost always I can see some good and some improvement in a player, and I make a point of mentioning that to their parents afterward, you know, like, hey, he did a great job today doing this, or boy, he's really getting better at this. And I'm not just being false, I believe it, you know, but I want the parent to know that hey, their kid is improving, he's working very hard out here. And when parents hear that, they feel good, and they trust me more after that also. So there's just a lot of things, you know, in that area that coaches can help parents also.
Sure. Hey, welcome Sven Hendricks from Belgium, former national team player for Belgium when I was there as a national team coach. Currently now the national team coach in Belgium, doing a great job with the national team. Keep it up. Good luck in the European Championships. Jack, how about your kids when they failed? You know, obviously you went to their games. I know you may have been playing, but if you had a chance to go to their games and they failed during that game, you know, missed three ground balls, struck out three, four times, they were going home with you. You know, what advice do you have for parents? Because sometimes, you know, we can be – I know the dads can be the toughest. You know, they want to give all the advice right after the game or on the way home. What advice you got for parents on that ride back home?
Yeah, that's a tough one, you know, because you just want to say things that help so much, you know. Hey, you could have done this, you could have done that. But I'm pretty silent after games. I wouldn't really mention if they played well, I'd say good playing. As long as they gave a good effort, you know, that's the thing I would mention is, you know, I like watching you play, and I liked how hard you tried. And unless they bring it up, I never brought up their failures, you know, at that time. And maybe later on, I would just say, hey, if you want to work on this, we can do it. But, you know, right after the games, no one feels worse than them. And so to pound it into their heads of what they should have done and what they could have done, that's pretty useless, you know. So sure. That's the time to really kind of be quiet. And once again, just tell them, hey, I enjoyed watching you play. And you got to leave it at that. But, you know, there'll come a time where a little later when things calm down, you can talk to them a little and ask them, you know, what they think they could do better the next time. And things like that are very helpful, of course.
Great advice. Awesome. Now, you play with the Mariners. I was reading where you hit .281, stole 60 bases in 68 attempts. There are times where you failed, whether it was hitting or anything else. How did you deal with the failure as a major league player playing at the highest level?
You know, I think at the highest level, I mean, there's always pressure to produce. You know, when you're an average player like me, and it's every day, what have you done for me lately? But in a sense, the major league life is a little easier because you know you're playing the next day. You know, so your memory of your failures can be ended very quick the next day because you play so often. You know, so that's kind of the good thing, is you always have the next day to redeem yourself. With kids, you know, there might be 3, 4, or 5 days in between, and that makes it a lot tougher sometimes to deal with the failure. So, but you know, you just learn over time how tough the game is and the nature of the sport. And once again, as parents, we got to pass that on to our kids, and hopefully they understand that too. So it's a process that in time kids learn to accept that they're not going to, you know, be perfect and come through every time. So you know, it's a tough area, but I always tell everybody, if you think sports is all about just having fun and doing well, then you're in the wrong game, you know. So it's not about just being fun and that, because failure is never fun, but it's about the effort and learning from your experiences and developing a resiliency that's going to help you in every phase of life. You know, when you get into the job market someday, you're going to fail. There's going to be people passing you by, and the things you learned in playing baseball a long time ago will help you in those areas too.
Well, I love how you keep it really simple, and you keep using the word process, which means, you know, it's a long time that you need to work on this. It just doesn't happen that year. And I just love that you say that. You know, one of the toughest things, we're coming down to the end, and then I'm going to kind of leave it open for you. Any last advice you have for parents or coaches or players? One of the toughest things is, I just struck out, right? Now I got to go to the field. And it's the one sport of all the sports that I know of that you got a lot of time to think. Because sometimes you go to the field and the ball's not hit to you at all during that inning. Well, you know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about that strikeout. You know, how did you deal with that? Or is there any advice you got for young kids on how to deal with something like that?
Well, you're always, you know, the best athletes are always able to stay in the moment, you know. So, you know, I tell them, you know, if you want to, you know, yell at yourself, you do it for, you know, 2 seconds and then you move on, you know. And sometimes self-talk can be good because then it allows you to move past it, you know. So I love the way Joe Maddon coaches, and, you know, one of the things he's always had is that, you know, we enjoy our victories for 30 minutes and we dwell on our defeats for 30 minutes and then it's over and we move on, you know. And it's the same way with teaching kids, you know, hey, it's okay to be upset because, once again, no one likes to fail, but sure, that lasts for a minute or two and then move on, you know. And, you know, the saying that, you know, don't take the bat to the field with you is something we're always telling the kids, you know, and they kind of look at you like, well, what's that mean? Well, you know, your strikeout's over, get out there and, you know, make a play. And if you save a run on defense, it's as good as driving in a run on offense. So, you know, help the team in other ways. So it's something that you're always working on with kids to improve on, is their mental game. And I always say, you know, it's, if you're a perfectionist, baseball's not for you, because you're never going to perfect it. You're never going to perfect this game. And you can kind of tell when kids are perfectionists and they just beat themselves up, and they usually don't last real long in the game, you know.
Yeah, and that doesn't matter if you're a player, coach, umpire, or anything you do in a game, if you're trying to perfect it. I agree with you 100%. That was well said. And Jack, finally, you know, it's your floor. Anything you want to tell our parents, coaches, and players around the world, let at it, and then we'll end the show from there.
Well, I guess we've kind of touched on this briefly, but we were talking about, you know, coaches, you know, stay ahead of what the other people know. Well, there's no excuses anymore, because you can find so much information online, and like with your podcast that you're doing here, it's such a great thing. I mean, there's no excuses for coaches to not get the information they need to teach the game and improve their own skills. You know, you can learn everything in about 10 minutes Nowadays, just going online, looking up YouTube, look a few videos up to get a few new drills. And I still do that always. I've been teaching the game forever, and I've come across some new things, and I can't wait to get out there and try them. So that's one thing is, you know, don't have excuses for not knowing enough about the game. And then the other thing is, you know, I love reading about geniuses, you know, people that are just so good. And it can be in any field, but I love reading about other coaches, with their methods, you know, and how they do things. And it just spurs me to try new things and, you know, to try to be better. And like I say, you look up a, you know, look up a Joe Maddon and just his theories or whatever, and you can learn so much in 10 minutes. You know, I never try to miss his press conferences because I always learn something. And there's a lot of coaches like that, not just him, you know, even there's so many coaches out there that are just so good, and you can learn from them. So once again, just, you know, put in the effort as a coach too to learn and don't stop learning. You know, a lot of times coaches think that just because they played high school or college ball or even professional ball that qualifies them to teach kids, and it really doesn't. You know, that just means they were a pretty good player. It doesn't mean that they're really qualified to help kids. And so you got to go out and get the information and learn how to conduct yourself and deal with everything.
Fantastic. That's Jack Bercani, former major league player. He also has a website called baseballcoaching.tips. Go to that website. It's got a lot of great information. Has his books up there. You can contact Jack. We'll have Jack's information on our show notes. Jack, outstanding. This is exactly what I wanted to talk about on the show. You did a fantastic job. Hope to see you soon. We both live in Chicago, but I don't run into you very often because I'm traveling the world a lot. I'm hoping to stay home a little bit, as we talked about.
Well, Pete, you're doing a great job, and I try to follow you as much as I can, too. And I really appreciate you having me on here. We could talk. I'm not just exaggerating. I'm sure you and me could talk for the next 24 hours about sports and baseball, and we wouldn't have any dry moments. I mean, that's how much we both love it and enjoy talking about this stuff. So keep up the great work, and I hope to see you soon again, my friend.
Sounds good, man. Thank you. And to all our listeners, especially loyal listeners, if you love the show, go to our Stitcher, iTunes, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com, hit those logos. If you're a new listener, join the show. But if you're a loyal listener, you've been on for a while, give us a great review if you really enjoy the show. Thanks for everybody on Facebook Live. Really appreciate it. Tried to get to you as best we can. And don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. And my email, info@baseballoutsidethebox. Email me for any question you have about the game, about the show, whatever it may be. I will get back to you right away. And thank you very much to former Major League player Jack Bercani for being on the show. It was a thrill having you on the show. And remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that love to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.